it's also to have that experience of it's enough. It's really enough what we have experienced to understand what He's done for us. But I think that if you are here this morning, you could have gone shopping. As I drove here this morning, I see lots of people who went shopping, who probably went to the beach, who slept late, who ran a few kilometers. And yet you chose, yet you were, for whatever reason, you made that decision to be here today. And so this is really our prayer, that as you worship with us, and as you pray, and as you take communion, and as we read through the word this morning, that when you leave, that investment, that obedience that you displayed by coming and by being with us this morning, that God will bless that, and that you will be rewarded in your spirit and be encouraged. So Byron has asked that we continue with the series around the Apostles' Creed, which we're going to do again today. And before we start, can we please pray together, and then we'll continue. Father, we thank you for your word, and as we read and as we listen and as we experience this morning, we put ourselves under the guidance of your word and under the instruction of your spirit. Would you break it open for each of us individually? Would you teach us? Holy Spirit, you are our teacher, our reminder, our encourager. And I pray that it will be true for us today. And as we open up our hearts to your word, let it grow, let it strengthen us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let's read from Acts. I also get this strange echo. It's fine, I'll try work around it. So let's read from Acts 1, verse 1 to 11. And it's for me fitting, because it's in this first chapter of Acts that we also start off our missions month, which we're going to do a little bit differently than we did in previous years as well, but I'll explain a little bit later. So read with me in verse 1, Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus. Is this thing working? There we go. Thank you. I wrote all about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" I just want to pause with this one, because this verse 6 where it says, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" just made me realize that, at this stage, after everything that's happened, after everything they've seen, after everything they've experienced, what's the one thing that I ask him when he's like about to go back to heaven? Is it now, is it going to be okay? Is all of this stuff over now? And I realized as I read this that we so easily, read over this, because it's like the problem they had in Israel, and we know that they had a problem with the Romans, and there was lots of stuff happening in politically. And I realized that each of us, as you read this, you think to yourself, well, what is it that you would like to be over? If you were there and you would say to him, listen, I, at least now this will be the end of it. Will it be the end of sickness, of strife, of jealousy, of problems with your work, of sin? What's going to be over? What are the things that you really, if you were there, that you would have in your mind when you ask, is this the time that you're going to do this for me now? And it brings this text closer to us, because suddenly we are those people. We are the disciples asking that question. So where's your focus? Where's my focus? Which things are we worried about, or are we concerned about? Are we really sick and tired of? And we just wish him to sort of just finish it off. Just make that stuff go away. And then in verse 7 he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up to the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." And so in the Creed, in the Apostles' Creed, there is these few sentences that says, "He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead." So briefly, I'm gonna share four things that I think makes the ascension specifically very important to us. We won't have time today to cover the judgment of the living and the dead this morning. You know, I grew up in a church where we still had a public holiday on Ascension when we commemorated Ascension Day, and it was a big thing. You went to church on that morning. Let's say it was a Thursday. I can't remember. It was a big thing. So why is this a big thing for us when Jesus ascended? And I think these four things clearly aren't all the things that we can grasp and are all the things that are important. But let's go through them briefly. The first one, and this is according to Hebrews 10:11-14, if you read, he sat down at the Father's right hand, and by doing so, the Father verified the accomplishment of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he confirmed that the final payment for sin had been made. Think about that for a moment. When he ascended and he sat at the right hand of God, it is as if God said, "Well done. It is done." And everything that preceded it was right and proper and necessary. And for us, the meaning then is, and that is what we celebrated just now, the accomplishment. What Jesus did is done. It's all that was needed. It is the complete mission. It is everything God prepared over the ages that we read through in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus sits down at the right hand with the Father in that place. And it's a place of glory. It's a place of acknowledgement. And that's why when we acknowledge that he will come back, at that time, everybody will see that. We can't see that now. We don't know how that looks, how that experience is. But one thing is for sure, God himself, God the Father himself acknowledged that it was accomplished and it's done. The second one is that the work of Jesus on behalf of his people began. So in 1 John 2, 1, where it speaks about Jesus interceding for us. That's the second thing that I think is really important, that we understand that when Jesus ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, the Bible tells us that's where his prayers, and I hate to simplify it like this, but his prayers in heaven for us started then. You ever think about that? It is because he ascended and because he is at the right hand of God that he is in that place where he keeps on interceding for us. He's not dead. He didn't stay on earth. He's actually in heaven praying for you and me and us here today. Interceding. Standing in for us. I think in my mind I see this image of him reminding the angels. By the way, I don't think there's a biblical foundation for my comment, but this is how I imagine it to be, is that he's telling them, "Eugene, he's saved. I accomplished everything for him. He's covered. He's protected. He's blessed. He's growing. He's not perfect, but it is complete." It's amazing to think that those are the kinds of things that will be said in it, that is being said about us in heaven today. Really encouraging for me. The third one is that his eternal reign over the enemies began. 1 Peter 3:22. He is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers subjected to him. I think last year sometime, I can't remember when it was, there was this video I played to the students one evening. And some of you will remember this song by Carmen. I've referenced this before, where the whole song is about Jesus being in the boxing ring with Satan. And then eventually he gives him the knockout. You know, it's like, Jesus won. And I remember I was probably in high school then, and it really, I mean, that thing revved us up, you know, for Jesus. And then afterwards, later years, I thought to myself, no, man, there was never a contest. There was never a contest. How on earth can the devil even try to fight Jesus? It's not like you put two people in the ring together and you hope that one will win because he trained harder than the other one, or he gets a surprise knockout. But the ascension and Jesus sitting at the right hand of God the Father in heaven reminds us that everything is subject to his authority. And that's a great thing to encourage us as well today. There is nothing, and I think that clip that was played earlier spoke to that as well. There is nothing, no natural disaster, no problem in our lives, no sickness, no death, no nothing. No fear of the future, no politics, no president, no political party, no financial crisis that is not at the feet of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And this is another thing about the ascension that really is an encouraging word for us. And then the last one I specifically want to speak about, and this is going to lead me into just talking about our Missions Month a little bit, is that as a result of this, or after this, the church was empowered to accomplish its mission. Ephesians 1:22-23, where he put everything under his feet and appointed him as head over everything for whom? For the church, which is his body. This is us. The fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. So the ascension and sitting at the right hand of God is also for us an encouragement and a reminder, maybe, I suppose, that we have a mission. We have a purpose. We are not here today just out of duty, or because somebody brought us with, or because it's just the way to do, or I think somehow I will get some sort of blessing by coming. Some sort of supernatural thing will happen to me. God clearly says that he left earth, he went to heaven, and he empowered his church. And this is what we read further on in Acts. All the chapters from that point onwards explain to us how that played out. And in the rest of the New Testament. There are many, many more things that the ascension and God going, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne, could mean for us this morning. But just think about these four things and be encouraged that if it did not happen, what else would not have happened? So there's always this reminder that God has for us that he plans these things. There's a reason why it happened. It is not just a message about stuff. It's here to remind us that, hey, there's a lot of stuff that we trust God for, that we believe him for. And this is what the Apostles' Creed also brings out, is to say, it's an important thing, this. We believe that he actually ascended, that he sits actually at the right hand of God the Father. Because when we remind ourselves of what we believe, we also remind ourselves of, so what? So what is the effect on us? Why is it so important that we believe these things? So in Missions Month, in previous years, many of you will know what we did is we put a lot of focus in the church service itself on mission stuff, and we're going to do it slightly differently in October, in that we're going to, a lot of these things, this material, the things that we do around Missions Month, we're going to do in our life groups and in our prayer meetings and in children's church and on a Sunday. But Missions Month, it always is a time of stretching us, maybe a little bit, of certainly encouraging us, but stretching in the sense of asking this question, and this is the theme for the coming month, is, are you in the right place? And if you are in the right place, God will continue to encourage you in that and strengthen you in that. And if you're not, we're hopefully going to give you an idea of what kind of places there are that you could be in. But in order to put ourselves in the right place, we're going to do different things in the coming month. And you'll notice that none of these four things are particularly new, I guess. But we're going to do it in such a way that this helps us to understand and to again be encouraged and to be reminded of what God wants us to do with our community, us, you and me, and what the mission of this church is. So yes, we will pray, we will read, we will watch, we will talk, we'll discuss. But I would like you for the coming month to just prepare your heart as well and pray for the coming month that it will be a time when as we pray, read, talk, listen, experience, that this mission that God communicates to us in the light of what we just discussed earlier is how important it is for us. We do need to remind ourselves of it. Now, on the topic of reading, and this is one of the reasons why the sermon is so short this morning, is because we're going to read. No, I'm just joking. So, there are some books. So, this morning I'm just going to talk about reading quickly. I'm actually not going to talk about it. I'm just going to say something about it. But I just picked randomly a couple of books there from the bookshelves. And all of them have to do with evangelism, missions, our place in the world and in the marketplace. And so there's like, I don't know, 10, 15. So if you are one of those people who learn by reading, learn from reading, some of us don't. I think there's a good friend of mine who's very proud of the fact that he's never had to read a complete book in his life, even at school, because you had the summary, you know, and you could just read the summary. So, but my encouragement to you would be is if you are one of those people who like to read, take a book and sign it out in the book by the bookshelves there at the back, and then once you're done, just bring it back to us. I'm going to talk about three or four quickly. So, this one by Oswald J. Smith is a classic. The Challenge of Missions. Do not read it if you're not willing to be in some uncomfortable space, because it really stretches you a bit. And then there is a book called Revolution in World Missions by Yohanan, also a very challenging one. And then there's the story of Hudson Taylor, a missionary. So there's some of these that talk about missionaries that we can read about. It's in a series about Christian heroes. And then for those of you who don't want to go to the ends of the earth, this is also a joke. The Christian in today's culture. We're going to read about, so what does a Christian do today in our workplace? So I'm going to put the books on the table here somewhere when we're done, and you can just go and grab it if you're interested to have it to read one of these. I think I'm going to go back to my slides. I think we have time for a song that I want to play. And while I specifically want to play it before we end, before we go, because I think when you listen to, it's not really a song, it's a video, but when you look at it, you're going to see some cards. They're going to be writing on cards while they sing. And I have prayed this morning that for each of you that look at those things, there will be something that just is of interest to you, something that you want to know more about, or something that tells you what you should be involved in the life of this church and in the life of us serving our neighborhood, our town, our country, and the world. So when you look at it, I would prayerfully consider that there is something there, I think, for each of us to be reminded of. And then we're going to pray after that. Okay.
This morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now I thought, how do we ever get so far down, and how's it ever gonna turn?